So last week, we were looking at the example that Paul and Silas had set for us. And the example that Paul and Silas had set for us, we could see that through their example, they prayed and they sang spiritual songs when they were in that miserable condition that they were in that prison. It's one of the great stories of the Bible. We also saw last week that Paul and Silas, we saw the effects of the praise that they gave when they were in that situation and in those circumstances. And the earth itself responded to their praise with a great quake. And the result of that quake, well, it had physical and it had spiritual after effects. The quake's vibrations had this physical result. The doors of the prison, all of the doors of the prison were thrown open. And the chains of each of those prisoners was broken and loosed. But there was also spiritual vibrations as a result of their praise and worship. And those spiritual vibrations, it brought about changes in the hearts of those prisoners themselves. It even brought about a change in the heart of the jailer. And we see the result of that was that there was salvations that came from it. So let's again look together. I forgot to bring my glasses. This might be a little bit of a challenge, but we're going to see what we can do with this. I'll see if I can do this. Let's look together at Acts chapter 16. We're going to read verses 22 through 20. It's easier if I sit down. Acts chapter 22, verses 22 through 35. Then the multitude rose up together again against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. And this is just one of the most powerful stories. It doesn't matter how many times you read it. It's just encouraging to see the power that comes from praise. And just like Paul and Silas, we can sing praises to Jesus Christ with his joy, his true joy in our hearts, regardless of our situation and regardless of our circumstances. Because we have his joy always within us. Because we know from Galatians chapter 5, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And since his Spirit is always within us, his joy is always within us. So Paul and Silas were in a miserable situation in that jail, but they prayed and they sang spiritual songs. And when they prayed, they brought the joy of the Holy Spirit that was in their spirit, from their spirit into their soul. In other words, into their heart, their mind, their emotions, and their thoughts. Then they were able to sing songs of praise with true joy from their hearts. And we just read the physical and the spiritual effects of their praise regardless of the situation that they were in. Now in Ephesians, we saw this last week, in Ephesians, Paul teaches us and speaks to us from verse 19. And Paul speaks to us, and Paul's instructing us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, instructing us to follow their example. Look at verse number 19, Ephesians 5, 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now, we saw last week that the Greek word that we read there is melody. We saw that that means two things. Melody means, first of all, this. It means to rub or to gently touch the surface. It also means to pluck or to vibrate the strings of an instrument of praise as you would a harp, quote unquote. Your voice is your musical instrument of praise. When we sing songs of praise, whether it's in your individual time or collectively here on Sundays or whenever we're collectively together as a body, when we sing songs of praise, you are gently touching the surface of the spiritual realm. Think about that. I mean, picture yourself on a boat on this calm, placid lake where the water is just like glass, and you run your hand gently across the surface of the water. What does it do? It creates those ripples, those vibrations, those ripples that spread out. When we sing songs of praise, we are plucking, we are vibrating the spiritual realm itself. When you sing songs of praise, you are vibrating like that harp. You're vibrating the spiritual realm itself. You are creating an earthquake, a spiritual earthquake, with spiritual vibrations and spiritual waves that find their way out. They flow out from the source of the praise, and they break physical and spiritual chains in your life and in the lives around you. This is the power of praise, whether you're praising and singing praises by yourself. I tell you, when you're sitting in your car, and you're going through struggles in life, or you're discouraged or depressed, whatever reason. Now, this is somebody who spent 30 years in radio telling you this. Turn the radio off and just start singing some songs of praise. Sing songs that come to your heart. Listen, I've told you before, I am not a musical person. Music is not something that comes natural to me. But if I start singing, if I just start to open up my throat to sing, all of a sudden, maybe a song that we sang here on Sunday morning will come to my mind. Start singing. And you're going to find as you start singing, other songs start coming to your mind. And some songs are not even going to be songs you heard. It's going to be songs that as you're just worshiping and praising Him, spiritual songs that just come from Him into you. There is spiritual vibrations that bring spiritual changes. It's making melody in your heart, and it changes things. So, what is it in your life that you want to see? What are the promises in the Word of God that you've not yet experienced, you've not yet possessed? Here's another thought. What are your frustrations? What are your frustrations as you're walking through your daily walk with Jesus? What are your frustrations? Think about that, and honestly answer that question for yourself. Because what Paul is telling us, Paul is letting us know that when we sing songs of praise, when we're singing those songs of praise, it is not a mere formality. These are spiritual songs. When we come together on Sunday mornings, listen, when you're in your car, you can do it. When you're in your home, but when we come together on Sunday mornings, or when you're anywhere gathered as a body of believers, it's not a mere formality. These are spiritual songs. Pluck the strings of your musical instrument. Pluck the strings with expectation. If I'm not content with things in my life, then I need to bring about some changes. When I sing spiritual songs, when I sing songs of praise, I'm creating an opportunity for spiritual earthquakes and the coming from that spiritual vibrations, spiritual waves, like the ripples of that water, spiritual waves of change that comes and originates from singing songs, His songs of praise. Now, you might say to yourself, well, Todd, at City on a Hill, we don't have a band. We don't have instruments. We don't have some. There's no one here to lead me in praise and worship. We are the band. This is your instrument of praise right here. Pluck the instrument. Pluck the musical instrument of praise that you have and create a quake which actually loosens and brings about all of those things that are already established and done in the spiritual realm and just waiting as we create those spiritual vibrations. When we're touching the surface of the spiritual realm, you're loosing all of those things that are already established, already readied in the spiritual realm, and we bring them here into the natural realm. Your praise and worship leader is always within you. It's the Holy Spirit, the same one who gave you and filled you with His love, joy, peace, and faith. Give expression to your true, real joy, the joy that is in you, the joy of the Holy Spirit. Give expression to that joy. Pluck the strings of your instrument, and you're going to find that the Holy Spirit is going to personally lead you in intimate times of praise and worship. We have our praise and worship leader always within us. Listen, again, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what time of day. You can always sing songs of praise wherever you are. But I tell you, there is something anointed with the praise that comes when we come together and sing songs of praise to Him together. And we're each one a part of that, and we're each one participating. There's something anointed when we sing those songs of praise together. When we're not just mindlessly going through it as a formality. When we're not unengaged. When we are actually participating and plucking those strings in this instrument of praise that He's given us. Sing songs of praise in your heart. Make a melody in your heart with songs of praise. And what we're doing, we are gently touching the surface of the spiritual realm. We are creating those spiritual earthquakes with spiritual vibrations and spiritual waves that bring supernatural changes into our lives. Amen? This is part of just why this story is so timeless. Anytime you read anything in the Word of God, I always get something more out of it. I could read this story every day for the next 5 weeks and still get something out of it, something new out of it every day. But this is one of those great stories because of the truth that it gives us and because of the power that this is the Holy Spirit reminding us of the power that we have when we have the opportunity, especially together, to sing songs of praise and worship together. Now, one of the things we looked at last week and we spent a lot of time on was two of these verses that Paul speaks to us from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. We looked at verse number 19. I'm going to read both these to you again. Then I want you to see them in another verse. So Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see those same verses, but I want you to see them from a different version of the Bible. Because in this version that I'm going to show you, it really reveals to us that when we sing songs, when we sing praise songs together, you personally have a direct, from God, a direct purpose in your, a direct requirement and a direct purpose, a direct goal from your personal instrument of praise. There's probably only one person sitting here today that has read these verses in the version I'm going to give it to you. Bob, this is for you. This is J.B. Phillips' New Testament version. This version actually just points out something that none of the other versions I read show. So same two verses. Express your joy in singing amongst yourselves, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music in your hearts for the ears of God. Thank God at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it comes. And fit in with each other. And fit in with each other because of your common reverence for Christ. When we sing together in the joy of the Holy Spirit, we are fitted together, one another together. And Jesus uniquely has designed your voice, your instrument of praise, with a vital role in His symphony, in His spiritual earthquake, which creates those spiritual vibrations, those spiritual waves that flow out in a spiritual tsunami of change. Just like what we said, think about that volcano, and the volcano, lava comes and it changes the landscape entirely. This is what happens when we are fitted together, our voices fitted together in songs of praise. I love that version and I love that picture. But it also tells me that if I'm not singing with unfettered joy of the Holy Spirit in our corporate songs together, I am affecting His symphony. Because He has designed our voices to be fitted together in our songs of praise. So let me show you. Joshua, can I have that picture? So this is a symphony orchestra. So in an orchestra, we obviously have many instruments, and each of those instruments have different parts to play. Now, if I go to a symphony, I'm expecting to hear a complex, beautiful, and powerful performance given. That's my expectation. But what happens if a section, let's say all of these violin players, what happens if a section doesn't appear? Or even so, what happens if even one instrument is not there to fulfill their assigned role in the greater design of the entire composition? What happens if even one instrument is not there? Then the piece is incomplete. It loses the fullness of its power. Now, let me ask you this. So if this guy, there's only one pianist here, if this guy on the piano, or how about this guy with, yeah, what kind of drum? What they said. What if this guy isn't here? Or how about, he's not here already, because look, he's got his own music right here, but he's cheating off this guy. So, but what if this cymbal player isn't here? Or what about this tuba guy? He's the only one. What if he is not there? What if they're not there to fulfill their role and do their part? What if they're not there when they're called upon? What if they're not there to be fitted together as one? Well, then the piece is incomplete. It loses its power. It loses its beauty. It loses the depth that we come to expect. Now, I want you to see one other thing. I spent a lot of time looking at this picture. I don't know why, but you see this girl right here? I've checked. She's the only woman here that's not wearing a dress. She's wearing pants. But anyways, look, she also, there's her hands. She has no instrument. She's doing nothing. She doesn't fit in. One of these things does not, what's the Sesame Street thing? One of these things does not. So she is, this is me when I am not a part of the praise and worship. When I am not fitting my voice together with you guys in that praise and worship, this is me. And I'm making the song incomplete. Let me have that second picture. We need to pluck the instrument of praise that is your voice. Pluck the instrument of praise. Let it be joined together, fitted in with everybody else, and creating those spiritual vibrations that you don't even know are taking place. When we are singing those songs of praise together, there are things that are happening in the spiritual realm that you don't even see or know or realize, but you're a part of it. Unless I'm like that girl with the black pants and empty hands. I want to be a part of His symphony orchestra. I want to be a part of the powerful things that I want to be a part of that landscape change that He has and that He's planned for us and that is taking place. So now let's go back to Acts chapter 16. I'm going to look at verse number 26. But I'm going to show this to you in the complete Jewish Bible. I'm giving you a lot of different versions today. So Acts chapter 16, that's going back once again to the story of Paul and Silas. And, wow, did you just appear, Tom? I didn't know you were here. When did you get here? This is like, Wow, it was just like all of a sudden a supernatural appearance of Tom. That's awesome, though. Do you leave that way, too? When we're done praying, after we close in praise, everybody just look and see if God translated Tom back to the golf course. Acts 16. All right, so Acts 16, verse number 26. We're going to look at this from the Complete Jewish Bible because I want you to see the verbiage that the Complete Jewish Bible uses. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake which shook the prison to its foundation. All the doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. This spiritual earthquake, we learn here, it was a violent spiritual earthquake. This is why it's so important for each one of us to play our part. This is why it's so important for us to know what our role is and be a part of it and play our part. Because remember, we're supposed to be the ones who are advancing the kingdom of God. We advance the kingdom of God by enforcing His victories in His power and in His spiritual authority. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We read that in Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Assuredly, I say to you, amongst those born of women, there's not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, there it is again, and the violent take it by force. Jesus is saying that there was never a man greater than John the Baptist, but he who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. The kingdom of God advances violently. We are supposed to be the ones who are creating the violent spiritual earthquakes that are changing the spiritual conditions around us. The kingdom of God advances violently. It's that beautiful picture again of that volcano changing the landscape with the eruptions of the power of God within us. Now, look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 and 12 again, but again from a different version. This is the Amplified Version. Truly I tell you, amongst those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is the least of the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. You and I, we're supposed to be bringing the kingdom of God from the spiritual realm into this natural realm, and we're supposed to do it with ardent zeal and intense exertion. Just ask yourself this question. Is my praise and worship, do the words ardent zeal and intense exertion, do those words go in line with my time of praise and worship, be it individual or collective? Is it ardent zeal and intense exertion? This is how we advance. We're supposed to advance the kingdom of God from the spirit realm to the natural realm. This is how we do it. Each one of us has a powerful part to play in praise and worship. So pluck the strings of your musical instrument of praise and be fitted together one with another. Because when we do that, we are releasing, we are creating those spiritual vibrations that powerfully and violently change everything in this natural world, everything in this world around us that is contrary to the Word of God. It changes those things so that they will then line up with the things of the Word of God. This is part of the power of praise and worship, be it together or by yourself. It's the power of praise and worship. But don't take for granted. When we come in here on Sunday mornings, it's more than mere formality. It is fitting our voices together as one to see that violent advancement of the kingdom. So everything that is contrary to His promises in your life, everything that is contrary is washed away and displaced by His word and by His promises. When Jesus was getting His disciples, preparing them for His death, His resurrection, and his then coming ascension in victory, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said in preparing his disciples. This is John 16, verses 22 and 23. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give you. That day that Jesus spoke of has already come. And we have the Holy Spirit. We have his Holy Spirit within us. No one can take your joy from you. His joy is in you. No one can take it. Let no one take it from you. Regardless of what is taking place in your life, regardless of the situation or the circumstances, let no one take your joy from you. And if you don't feel the joy, remember, his joy is in your spirit. Start singing songs of praise, and that joy is going to come to the surface. His very real joy, his joy. No one can take it from you. Not even Satan can take it from you. Close the door on Satan and say, my joy comes from his joy that is in me. No man can take it from you. And notice that Jesus said in that verse, he said, in that day, you will ask me nothing. That's interesting because it kind of makes that verse sound like a contradiction. Because he says, in that day, you will ask me nothing. But then he says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask of my in my name, the Father will give to you. So which is it? Do we ask or do we don't ask? But here's what he's saying. We have to understand that at that point, before the day of the Holy Spirit coming to us, at that point, the disciples were asking Jesus a lot of questions. And Jesus is saying in this verse, he's saying, the day is coming when no one will take your joy from you. And he's saying that day is going to come on the day when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within the hearts, within the lives of men. In that day, Jesus says, you will ask me nothing. That day took place at Pentecost. That day was Pentecost. So Paul and Silas, when we see their story in Acts 16, Paul and Silas were living in that day. They're living after Pentecost. So even though they are in prison, and in every miserable circumstance and situation that they had to suffer through in prison, even though they're in that miserable situation in prison, Paul and Silas are still singing songs of praise to Jesus. Even in prison, Paul and Silas are not asking questions that it's easy for the flesh to ask, because they are singing songs of praise. They're not asking questions like, Jesus, why did you allow this to happen to me? Or how can I get delivered? Jesus, how do I get delivered from this? What is to become of me? They had no questions. They asked him nothing that day because they were simply singing songs of praise to Jesus Christ. And they were singing songs of praise in the joy of the Holy Spirit that was in them, a joy that no man and no situation could take from them. And so they created a spiritual earthquake with resounding spiritual vibrations and spiritual waves, which bring about that change, and they change the spiritual conditions. When we sing songs of praise from the joy of Jesus that is in our hearts, there's no room for questions like, Jesus, why did this happen? Because you have his joy, the joy that no one, nothing can take from you. That's when we are then able to violently advance the kingdom of God to create those spiritual changes, changing the spiritual and the physical landscape in your life and in the lives of people that are around you. So we learned a lot from Paul and the things that Paul was teaching us and has been teaching us in Ephesians chapter 5. And we looked a lot last week. I touched on it this week. We looked a lot at verses 19 and 20. But there is still some deeper spiritual truths that we can learn about those verses, 19 and 20, by going back to the very beginning of that chapter. If we go back to the start of Ephesians chapter 5 and read those verses, that is the foundation upon which verses 19 and 20 are built upon. So, let me just look at those verses. This is verses 1 and 2 from Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I told you we'd get there. We still haven't gotten there. It's the end of week two, but this is where we're headed. It's that sweet-smelling aroma. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us, we can offer our lives as a sacrifice to him. And yes, part of that sacrifice is the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of sacrifice from our lips. And that can be a powerful, sweet-smelling fragrance to Jesus. So in the midst of my trials, in the midst of my struggles, what words are coming from my mouth? Are they words of praise? Am I singing words of praise that come from my faith, love, and joy? Or instead, are my words laced with frustration, with defeat, with anger? Anger at Jesus because of the situation that I'm in. That is not a sweet-smelling aroma to Jesus. I want my words to be a sweet-smelling aroma to Jesus. And my heart gets in that frame, my heart gets in that proper frame when I am singing songs of praise. When I'm learning more about those songs, those hymns, and those spiritual songs. That's when I can speak those things that are a sweet-smelling aroma to Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at next week. Let's stand up and close in praise and worship.